continuing our study of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We now come to the 8th chapter for our lesson this morning, a chapter in which I have had considerable difficulty with so far as the time frame that the events symbolized herein apply to. As I have said from time to time, we cannot study the book of Revelation from chapter 1 through chapter 22 as we would study a storybook that has one beginning and all events recorded therein happen in one succession to the end, because it is made up of scenes shown to the Apostle John. As we read in the first chapter, this revelation was signified to John by the angel of Christ. That is, it was shown to him in sign language or symbolic language. John records the things that he actually saw on each occasion and described them in symbols that have far more important, far-reaching interpretation than just a literal scene. As in the 5th chapter, John began a series of scenes beginning with a book in the Father's hand as he sat on the throne that was written on the inside and on the backside and sealed with 7 seals. We said that that was the future then of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that was not shown. It was sealed up. But before that chapter end, John saw Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God come forward to open the seals of that book and reveal the things that were therein. In the 6th chapter, John beheld as Jesus began to open those seals one by one and to reveal the scenes that he saw happen upon the earth as each successive seal was opened until the 6th seal had been opened. When we finished the 6th chapter, then the scenes under the first 6 of those seals were completed. But when we come into the 7th chapter, the scene changes. He doesn't immediately see the opening of the 7th seal. John saw an angel ascend from the east having the seal of the living God, and a voice telling the 4 angels that held the 4 winds of the earth to hold the winds, that the earth be not disturbed or hurt until the servants of God were sealed in their forehead. We said that that sealing constituted the preaching of the gospel, that the word of truth making known to them in their intellect the truth of God's word before the more persecution was to come upon the church. It is seen that this 7th chapter and the events therein will go back to the beginning of the gospel age and come through the same period of time represented by those 6 seals. But there is a 7th seal yet to be broken. And as we enter the 8th chapter today, the first verse, John says, when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. We want to note now that instead of showing immediately the scene upon the earth when this seal was broken, this was the last seal, remember, and there was silence in heaven. Whether this heaven here represents the eternal city or the church, as we have said from time to time, it can mean either or both, I do not know, but the main thing is here that silence represented a pause. There was a pause in the event. He had been seeing the seals as they were opened from 1 through 6. The events happened in succession as they were opened, but here we come to a pause. Just what this pause represents, I'm not sure, but it is evident that it changed, represented a change in the succession of the events, because it begins, as we will notice further on, another series of scenes. Just as there were seven seals, there are seven angels seen here in the second chapter, and they are given seven trumpets. Now we know that an angel, as we have learned so far, represents a messenger. And the messengers stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. We know that a trumpet symbolizes something to be announced, an announcing message, something to go far and wide. But just as there were seven of the seals to be opened, and when the last one was opened, that finished that scene, we see now seven trumpets beginning a new series of events. Some say that this takes us back again to the beginning, and that these seven trumpets, the sounding of each, runs parallel to the opening of the seventh seal. It seems a little bit unlikely that we would go back to the beginning at the opening of the seventh seal, but if we study the events noted here, recorded under sounding of the seven trumpets, they're very much parallel and very much related to the same scenes that we saw as the first six seals were opened. But our lesson for today will have more to do with the effort to properly interpret the symbols of this chapter than to be specific or definite about the time frame. But John said in the second verse, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." Now let us notice verse 3, the symbol there. Another angel. This was not one of the seven, because he belonged to a different rank. There were seven given trumpets, and this one stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Now a censer would symbolize something, a vessel, and golden would be a golden vessel, that is, it would be a vessel filled with gold, which symbolizes a vessel of truth. "And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." That is, incense representing sacrifice with prayers of the saints to be offered upon the golden altar which was before the throne, that is, offered to God. "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Now, the smoke of the incense ascended up, showing us clearly that the prayers, the sacrifice, and the prayers of the saints were accepted before God. This indicates to me more thoroughly that this angel himself was Jesus Christ, because the scripture plainly teaches us that no prayer will ever be accepted by us to God except it be offered by or through, in the name of, Jesus Christ. In John 16 and verses 3 through 24, Jesus spoke, 23 and 24, Jesus spoke there to his disciples concerning the manner of prayer that while he had been here upon earth, they had asked of him. But he said, "Heretofore have ye asked nothing in my name." Then he told them to ask in his name, and whatever they asked, they would receive. In Colossians, the third chapter, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul, writing to the early church, said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father by him. Thus our prayer and our thanksgiving is supposed to be offered to the Father in the name and by our mediator and propitiation for our sin, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. There were voices, thundering, and lightning, and an earthquake. Now then, we know, as we have already mentioned, that in the scriptures, many places, fire represents the word of God. He filled this censer with, along with the prayers of the saints that had been sent and offered up to God and accepted, he filled this censer with the word of God from the altar and cast it into the earth. There were voices, that means something being said. Thundering, that is, reverberation of the voices carrying into the world. Lightning, giving light, and it caused an earthquake, shaking upon the earth. These, of course, are symbolic events, but we want to be sure that we grasp they meant something spiritual. And this, when this happened, the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, remember they stood before the altar, before the throne of God, they had seven trumpets, and they prepared themselves to sound. We want to notice now another series of events are about to begin to take place. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, just what the hail mentioned here with the fire, as we have said, the fire represents God's word. Just what the hail represents, I do not know. Without it would be the persecution that followed. Remember back in chapter 6, when the red horse, the second horse that went forth at the opening of the second seal, the gospel had been preached into all the world, and it began to cause persecution, war, and bloodshed. But here it says the hail mingled with hail and fire mingled with blood. That shows bloodshed. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now we want to notice just a little about this symbol here of the trees and the green grass. In the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah and verse 3, there we have God's people symbolized by trees. In the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter, in verse 22, we have the entire human race symbolized as grass. We know that green in the nature of plant life symbolizes life. So we're talking here about something that was burned up that had life. A third part of the trees and all green grass, that is all the spiritually live of the earth. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Early on in the study, we determined that the word earth here, as used in these verses, symbolizes the world, the entire universe, not necessarily religious or unreligious, but the people of the earth. In the case of the sea, as mentioned, relative to the human race, it represents the church or the religious part of the world. The second angel sounded, there was a great mountain. Mountain represents a government. It was burning with fire, fire of God's word, cast into the sea. In the third, fourth centuries, beginning with the time of Constantine, who was emperor of the Roman Empire, the Constantine was nominally converted to Christianity. And between that time and the 5th century, or the 3rd century rather, and the end of the 5th century, in the days of Odoacer, the entire pagan government of the Roman Empire became Christianized. That is, nominally so. It became converted to Christianity, but along with the coming into the church of the leaders of that empire, they brought with it the corruption of the political government, and the church began to be corrupted. The third part here, he says, of the sea became blood. That is, it became dead. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. I do not know what the representation or symbolism of the ship, but I do believe that this applied to the corruption, spiritual corruption of the church in those days. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Now let us notice that third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. We said star represents angel. Angel is a messenger. A messenger of heaven. But heaven here represents the church, the heavenly places here upon this earth. A great man of the church, burning, he fell from heaven, that is, back to the earth, back into sin, burning as it were a great lamp. A lamp is a lampstand, a candlestick, represents church. So this man started something that looked like a church. Fell from the true church back into the world and started something that looked like a church. This happened about the 7th century of time with the man Mohammed. It did just that. And he says, 11th verse, the name of this star is Wormwood. Wormwood symbolizes something extremely bitter. This man that started this church started an extremely bitter movement. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died at the waters because they were made bitter. I believe that since he fell upon the fountains of waters, waters, rivers mean people, the fountains being the beginning, this would represent a beginning of something that started in the east, where the beginning of the human race started. And that's exactly where Mohammed started this movement. And for some 300 or 400 years, caused bitter war upon the earth between so-called Christian forces and the Mohammedan religion. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of the night likewise. Now then, let us notice here, the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun. What did the sun represent? He said that it symbolizes spiritual light, the source of spiritual light, which is the Word of God. Third part of the moon, that is, that receives its light from the sun, the church, the world, the earth, the universe, that receives its light from the sun. And the third part of the stars, that is, the angels. So as the third part of them was darkened, the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. The third part of the age, the Christian age. This, I believe, represents the darkest part of the Dark Age. And it is said that the 13th and 14th centuries were the darkest part of the Dark Age. A third part of that period of time that lasted 1260 years. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now let us notice there were seven trumpets to sound. Four have been sounded in this chapter, but in the very last verse, 13th verse of this chapter, John said, after this fourth angel had sounded, he beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels yet which are yet to sound. Four had sounded, and in the sounding of those four trumpets, the woe had been upon the religious part of the earth. It had been upon the church, upon the gospel. But here he says these last three woes, one for each trumpet, would be upon the inhabitants of the earth, that is the worldly government, the people that had put out the light of the gospel of Christ, which I believe we can safely say is represented here by these woes that have been upon the earth. They have been upon the religious part. The part that they have played is to destroy the light of the gospel. But now, having succeeded in doing that, these people begin to realize that they have put it out to their own sorrow. The woes are to come upon the political governments of the world, which happened during the Dark Ages, the last part of the Dark Ages, when the earth was in such turmoil, such religious and political confusion, that we said it back in chapter 6 when men actually prayed for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, to kill them, hide them from the face of the Almighty God. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, in the sounding of these first four trumpets, it had been to all the woes had been to the gospel. But I fully believe that this signifies here that the last three sounding of the last three trumpets will be woe upon the worldly class until we come to the age when the light of the gospel will be made known again, as we study in history and the restoration movement of the uh, 15th through the 18th centuries in Europe, when the light of the gospel was brought back to man through the translation of the Bible back into languages that men could understand. And this we see in this last verses, the time had come when the destruction of the gospel had even brought woe upon the world that had caused it to come about. As we go from this chapter and into the ninth chapter, where we see still a different scene, let us tread carefully and prayerfully as we go through these chapters and try to interpret these translations, these symbols in these chapters, and see what we can learn as they relate to the history of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from the time that it was established through the gospel of Christ in the early days of the gospel and down through the time when its light was put out for 1260 years and then brought back through the retranslation of the Bible into livable languages until the true church of the Lord to shine again upon the earth. Let us study for our lesson next Sunday the ninth chapter, in which the fifth angel sounds and a star falls from heaven unto the earth. Him was given a key of the bottomless pit. Let's study that lesson for our lesson next Sunday and see what we can learn about this star from heaven and this bottomless pit, which let out a great smoke when it was opened.